You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everyone. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing great in this pre-Valentine weekend. Valentine's, I believe, is on Wednesday, which I believe is also Ash Wednesday for any of you traditional Orthodox Catholic folk. That's the beginning of Lent, the 40 days of penance and introspection, preparing for Good Friday and Easter. We are supposed to take ashes on the forehead to remind us that dust to dust and from dust we shall return. And we are supposed to fast on Fridays and not eat meat. But I understand that most of us live in a post-Christian society, and most Christians even don't believe in the older traditional views of that. So I know a lot of people who don't do that. But Valentine's is coming up. Last year, right when I started my Confessions of an Obese Child series, I had a little rumination on Valentine's and what I thought of Valentine's. So if you want to go back and listen to that, I believe that's probably confession number 5, the locker room, or confession number 7, the bra, where I talk about my experiences of wearing a bra when I was a kid. So check that out. Before we talk about Kratom today, a couple of reminders. The website is Naturopathic Earth, N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H-I-C, Earth. There's a link on the podcast notes. Go check out my podcast. I got some blogs, and I used to blog daily. Now I'm blogging maybe once a week. I try to send out a blog on Thursdays, and then, of course, these episodes come out on Monday. Now that the holiday season's over, I might increase my uptake and do more podcast episodes. I am planning to do a confessions pretty soon. So go check out the articles, check out the blogs, check out the food recipes and so forth. We would really appreciate that. And also, I do have a Patreon account, which is a like GoFundMe account, which there are links on the episode notes on your phone right now. If you want to go and donate $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, $50 a month, that would be fantastic. I would appreciate that greatly. So let's start talking about Kratom. Now, a lot of you don't know what Kratom is, and Kratom's really in the zeitgeist now. You know, CBD oil, cannabidiol oil is very popular now. That's the extract that you can get out from the cannabis sativa plant, or the weed, the marijuana plant. And there's a lot of usages for it. Along with that is Kratom. So I wanted to have an episode about Kratom because the FDA is trying to crack down on this herb where you can get it. You can get it pretty much anywhere. I mean, it's almost like there's the Scooby Snacks and K2, the cannabinoids. You get them as potpourri at gas stations, and kids were getting them, and then they were dying from them because they were getting high on it. But these you can get at vape stores and anywhere else. But a lot of people have found benefits from it. So it's the story arc is similar to CBD oil. So let's talk about the Kratom. Okay, so I will be gleaning from the veritable Washington Post. But if you type in Kratom on Google this week, you'll find a lot of hits from different articles, from different reputable, quote-unquote, journalistic outlets. And of course, if you go to like Mercola and all those more alternative outlets, they're going to give you the other view of the benefits of Kratom. So Kratom is spelled K-R-A-T-O-M. It's an herb. The Food and Drug Administration on Tuesday intensified its warnings about Kratom. Now, this is a week ago, so this is early February, saying new research provides strong evidence that the unregulated botanical substance has, quote, opioid properties and is associated with 44 deaths. Quote, We feel confident in calling compounds found in kratom opioids, FDA, close quote. FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb said in a comment, I am sure Scott Gottlieb, if we Googled him, we'd find out that he has connections to big pharma, big business, big medicine, and has a conflict of interest, because this is what we call the revolving door, ladies and gentlemen. People that go from those aforementioned watchdog, quote unquote, organizations to the FDA, back to those organizations. Conflict of interest. The agency conclusion is based on recent computational modeling and on scientific literature and reports of adverse effects in people. The new data, he added, reinforce agency concerns about kratom's potential for abuse, quote, addiction, and serious health consequences, including death, close quote. What's kratom? The substance, which is imported from Southeast Asia and marketed as a supplement, has become increasingly popular among consumers looking for relief from pain, anxiety, and depression, as well as opioid withdrawal symptoms. Kratom, which is sometimes used for recreation, can produce a feeling of euphoria. Advocates call it a safe way to deal with chronic pain and other conditions, and some researchers are exploring whether it helps people overcome addictions. But other researchers warn that the herb taken in capsules or by drinking tea is too risky for use. So you can already see the paradigm here. We're already lining up the paradigm here. You have the people who have used kratom and believe it's a great, I wouldn't say like antagonist or remedy for opioids like Vicodin and heroin, but it actually provides relief from pain and anxiety and depression and a host of other symptoms. And then, of course, you got Big Daddy coming in and saying, no, we can't have cheaper, perhaps as effective remedies for anxiety, pain, and depression because, whoa, you can't kick into Big Pharma's humongous profit margins. So all their lackeys now are speaking out. Gottlieb, the head of the FDA, who of course is a lackey, in a November public health advisory and again Tuesday, said there are no FDA-approved uses for kratom. Well, no shit. Of course there's not going to be. The agency is now aware of 44 kratom-associated deaths between 2011 and last December, including one in which the individual had no known historical or toxicological evidence of opioid use except for kratom. Okay. 44 kratom-associated deaths between... Now, look at the years here. April 2011 and last December. So it's 7 years, 44 deaths. Now, I'll mention something in a second about those 44 deaths. But God rest their souls, RIP. But 44 deaths in 7 years is not that bad. There's a lot. People die from what? Nosocomial infections, hospital-based, hospital-acquired infections. Isn't that something like 250,000 a year get C. diff or some MRSA that kills them? And how many people? Hundreds of thousands that die from doctor error. So we got 44 that have died in 8 years. In many of those cases, kratom was used along with other drugs, making it difficult for authorities to determine the actual cause of death. Thank you. I am glad the Washington Post still has an iota of integrity here. Kratom proponents have said that the government sometimes blames kratom for deaths caused by other substances, but the new fatality cited by the FDA, given the absence of other substances, reinforces our concerns, Gottlieb said. Now look, I can't speak for this one death that allegedly only the person only had kratom in their system. Perhaps it did. Perhaps he had an underlying problem. Perhaps it's fake news, right? Perhaps it was the kratom. But I am glad the veritable Washington Post here admits that the other kratom deaths, the whopping 43 in 8 years, there were other drugs in their system. There were other drugs. Morphine, Vicodin, heroin, benzos, all of those in combination could kill you, mixed with some little alcohol, little vodka, little tequila way. It will kill you. So, I mean, I'm glad they give you that balanced view. So, again, they want to blame kratom because kratom has the potential, along with CBD oil, to majorly kind of reinvent the paradigm on how to treat chronic pain, anxiety, and depression. And the government, which is essentially a mouthpiece for big pharma and big business, of course, doesn't want that, right? Again, we talked about pushing vitamin C. Go back to the episode on high-dose vitamin C being a cure for cancer, or the Gerson therapy, or all the other ones. They don't want a treatment that they can't patent because they can make money off of it. If, let's just say theoretically, high-dose intravenous vitamin C could cure a lot of cancers. Who's going to make that profit? I mean, granted, a lot of big pharma companies have bought out a lot of vitamin companies, but still, they won't make the profit. My students right now are doing history of medicine presentations, so they pick different topics, and they're not all like on Andreas Vesalius or, you know, Louis Pasteur. They pick, I give them a list of other topics, and one of them that they did was, does chemotherapy cure cancer? And we've talked about this, I think, back in that Q&A with Kate, the last Q&A we did way back when, and I mentioned how chemotherapy has actually a very low efficacy rate. It's about, depending on the numbers, 10%. 10% of the time chemotherapy works. Chemotherapy is only effective for 3 or 4 cancers. Off the top of my head, I think it's like lymphoma, testicular, and Wilms tumor, which is a kidney cancer. But here's the problem with chemo. Chemo is extremely expensive, but oncologists, chemo doctors, are the only doctors that profit directly from prescribing chemo to their patients. So let's say, for example, you're a doctor and someone comes in with a staph infection or bacterial infection. You're going to write a prescription for an antibiotic, and you know how I feel about most antibiotics, but okay. He doesn't profit from that. Now, if he writes 4,000 prescriptions for Augmentin, maybe the farm rep will come and say, hey, we're going to give you like an all-day buffet or all-day spa, or maybe like in the old days, fly to the Bahamas. But there's no remuneration, like direct remuneration. But with chemo is not like that at all. So the way chemo works is the oncologist doctor will buy the chemo drugs for like, I don't know, $3,000. These are arbitrary numbers. Then he'll sell it to the grief-stricken, bereaved cancer patient who just found out they got diagnosed with fill-in-the-blank cancer for $12,000 and say just, oh, that's just the nature of the price. You know, it's because it's cutting-edge technology, blah, 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 BS, BS. And then the health insurance companies will reimburse the patient, perhaps if they have insurance, but let's say they do have insurance, for $7,000 of that. So the oncologist pockets $5,000 a month. Now, I mean, again, chemo drugs are extremely expensive. They can run the gamut from about $15,000 to $30,000 a month, or a treatment, you know, a cycle. And normally you have to do more than one. So again, it's a conflict of interest. And I love the fact that my students, God bless them, God bless most of them, do the research, and instead of just believing what we've been propagandized about how to treat cancer, actually looked it up and reinforced what I've told them. Now, of course, there could be confirmation bias, like, well, Mr. Luna wants us to, you know, say that chemo doesn't work. But it is in plain sight, guys. The statistics are in plain sight. Something like 80% of oncologists wouldn't give chemo to their own family. It's in plain sight. I'm sorry. I just went off topic. My apologies. But it goes back to conflict of interests here. And we don't want alternative sources, because in an ideal world, why can't we have both? The FDA, we know, really doesn't care about our well-being. Why not leave kratom alone? Why not leave CBD oil alone? Heaven forbid, you know, why don't we just have, you know, and well, I'm not going to say, I'm a teacher after all. The new FDA analysis comes as the Drug Enforcement Administration considers whether to classify kratom as a controlled substance. Uh-oh. In 2016, the DEA announced plans to place kratom temporarily in Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substances Act, a category for drugs such as heroin. The move would have effectively banned its use. But what, I can't go to a vape store and get it anymore? But officials backtracked after a public outcry, all right, and pressure from some members of Congress. They've probably been bought off by big weed, of course, right? In withdrawing its plan, the agency asked the FDA to speed up a scientific and medical evaluation on kratom. Okay, so look, if the FDA is going to do a medical evaluation on anything, you know it's going to be skewed. Okay, there's many examples in the past where the FDA does studies and it comes out the way they want it to be because of the profit behind it being outlawed. So, for example, if you are a scientist, right, and the FDA comes up to you and says, we're going to give you, you know, $70,000 if you do the study on kratom. Oh, great, yeah, especially if you're up-and-coming scientist. Yeah. Okay, and they do the study, and they realize kratom's overall pretty healthy. I mean, no more pernicious to our health than, let's say, over-the-counter drugs like acetaminophen and Motrin or whatever. And like, no, kratom's fine. And they're like, no, you need to quote unquote redo your study, wink, wink. Because the message is either you're not going to get paid for this, or we're not going to hire you for another study to do it. So they'll go back, they'll fudge the numbers, they'll hide some data, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, kratom is it's unhealthy. You know? Because again, it's all about monetary stuff. These scientists need to make a living, or the FDA is already in cahoots with corrupt scientists and corrupt scientific organizations, these other watchdog places. And they already know these are their buddies, and they get kickbacks or wink winks. And so like, yeah, let's send this study on kratom to, you know, Joe Schmo Guido over here. We know, and Guido, of course, knows where he's getting his meals from. So Guido's going to make sure that the science comes out skewed against kratom. Call me a skeptic, but I've seen it enough. The FDA provided that evaluation late last year. A DEA spokeswoman said Tuesday that it could take months or even years to decide whether to schedule something as a controlled substance. Well, I'm glad they're not fast-tracking it. Gottlieb said his agency developed its computational model to identify the possibility of abusive designer street drugs for which there is little pharmacological data. Who designed this computational model? It's like a little monkey in the back, you know, pushing buttons. The model, he said, can predict how a substance will behave in the body and affect various receptors in the brain based on its chemical structure and its similarity to drugs for which there is data. Using that model, FDA scientists analyzed the 25 most common compounds in Kratom and conclude that all of them share the most structural similarities with opioid painkillers such as morphine derivatives. The model also showed that 22 of the compounds bind strongly to opioid receptors in the brain and to receptors that may contribute to stress responses that impact neurological and cardiovascular function. The agency previously warned of kratom side effects, including seizures and respiratory depression. Well, if I'm not mistaken, most of the opioids have that as a side effect as well. But after the FDA's November announcement, Jack Henningfield, an addiction specialist who works at the drug policy consulting group Piney Associates, said that surveys of kratom users suggest that many are taking the supplement to help stop using opioids. I'm going to come back to this later after the break. Henningfield, who has done work for the nonprofit American Kratom Association, argued late last year that the substance, quote, overall abuse potential and risk of death isn't anything close to narcotics like opioids, close quote, and warned that restricting or banning it could drive some people into the black market to buy it or push them back into heroin and other opioids, of course. The association estimates that 3 million to 5 million people in the U.S. have used Kratom or are doing so, and that numbers are driving much higher. Now, Henningfield works, who has done, quote-unquote, work for the nonprofit American Kratom Association. Okay, I'm going to swing cynical both ways. How do we know that this AKA group isn't paying off Henningfield to be a spokesperson? I mean, we've seen this done by Big Pharma all the time. Big Pharma still hires doctors to go pimp out their drugs at different conferences. I mean, that's classic. So you have this new drug coming out, and it's shown to be somewhat efficacious and somewhat deadly, like most drugs, Big Pharma drugs. So they hire, you know, Dr. A. Gregory Luna, and they come to Dr. A. Hey, A. Gregory Luna, you're a specialist in fill in the blank. We're wondering if you could sponsor this drug because you know, you're a great doctor. You know it's very efficacious. And we're just going to, by the way, fly you around the world to all these incredible cities or for all these incredible conferences, and we'll pay for everything. And all you have to do is give public endorsements of our drug. Okay, how many doctors are going to turn that down? Most doctors are not going to turn that down. So they use doctors as spokespersons to pimp their drugs all the time. So no offense to Henningfield here. I mean, he could be pimping out the AKA's, you know, agenda, even though he might, you know, for all we know, he might honestly believe that Kratom is very effective and that it should be legalized and even advertised more. So it's hard to say, you know. That's why you have to, like, read between the lines on this stuff. All right, so that's the end of the article here. I'm going to go get some tea, and then we're going to come back and talk about one of my students, and they work at a Kratom place, and I just want to give their input of the people that come in. And I'm back. All right. Yeah, I ran out. I just drank a green tea, and so I got the hot water on the kettle here. So I'm two bagging it now. So I put in my ginger, and I was like, I want to go with another Camellia sinensis tea. So I put in my white tea pomegranate. So I don't think this tea is going to taste that good mixing in all those things. But, you know, who cares? I've mentioned, I think, before in Confessions, I think it was on the diminished palate, that I really don't have a palate. I don't taste anything. So last night, for example, I had very spicy Thai curry. I had coconut. I had red curry, yellow curry. Because only the spicy foods, I feel like I'm tasting something. Everything else tastes the same. So I don't want to ruminate on that. I do that more on Confessions, which I definitely recommend you listen to. Any of you have addictions or know people in your love life or in your family who have addictions, I would definitely go check that out on iTunes. That is more the introspective, retrospective confessional series, whereas this one's more informative. All right, now that I just did a PSA for my other podcast here, let's go back to Kratom. So one of the reasons I wanted to bring up Kratom is because, of course, I keep up with the news, and I saw a lot of stuff on health articles about Kratom coming up and how the FDA wants to ban it. But also, one of my former students came in, and I mentioned that my students are doing their presentations on different topics. And some of them are, you know, do cell phones give you cancer? Do microwaves give you cancer? How bad is fluoride in the water? You know, they choose the ones, some topics that are a little more controversial. And then that we also have some of the alternative stuff like healing crystals. Do they work? Does Reiki work? Anyway, so one of my favorite students came in. And he just happened to come in on one of the days when they were doing presentations, and we were talking about CBD oil because somebody did a presentation on CBD. And he mentioned, this guy's like 21 now, he mentioned that he works at a vape store and that Kratom is very popular and that a lot of people come in for Kratom. And what he said about Kratom was that it was mostly, and they would, these guys are pretty open, I guess, when they come into the vape store. And I honestly have never been to a vape store because I don't smoke. And he was like, he said these guys are honest. Most of them are heroin addicts, or they're addicted to Vicodin, you know, the opioids, or the pure opium like heroin. And they're like, I'm just here to take Kratom because when I take Kratom, it makes me still feel like I'm on heroin to a certain extent, but I'm not getting the withdrawal and the horrible feelings that you get when you're on heroin and Vicodin, and of course, definitely when you're trying to get off of it and you're withdrawing and you get all the, you know, all the hankering for it. So Kratom does have a purpose for these people. And if you take Kratom away, I think that a lot of these guys are just going to go back to heroin or go back to their Vicodin addiction. And I'm not saying that Kratom is going to cure them of whatever they have. And of course, we wish they didn't go down this road. But the problem is, like, any of us guys can have an injury at any second. You can have it in your house. You can trip down your stairs. You can get a fender bender, and then you're in pain. And then you go to your allopathic doctor, and what is he going to do? Most of them are going to give you Vicodin, or, you know, the hydrocodone derivative, Darvocet, something, Lortab, whatever. They're going to give you some sort of pain drug. And the way the body processes these drugs, it's very easy to get hooked on them. You're supposed to take, like, you know, Vicodin like one every 6 hours as needed for pain. But if you're having a lot of pain, you're not going to wait another 4 hours. You're going to take another one, and then you'll take another one, and then boom, you run out, and then the pain comes back, and you don't want that pain, clearly. So you want to take more and more, and then that's when you start going down that road of, like, going to different clinics. And I used to work at an urgent care clinic, and, you know, we would see the drug seekers come in, and it was sad because the doctors wouldn't give them the drugs, or they would give them, like, a non-opioid drug. And it was sad because you felt for them. I mean, a lot of these people are not, like, homeless people, sleaze types. They were just, like, just regular people, but they were hooked already on opioids. And so the way I look at it, and of course, I don't have the science behind Kratom or marijuana or any of these alternative things, but if there's an alternative for chronic pain, why not give it a shot? I mean, this is a kind of like an idealistic view of how I view things, but if there's any even anecdotal proof that marijuana, either CBD oil or marijuana per se, helps with chronic pain or helps with depression or helps with anxiety or helps even with cancer. You know, a lot of people on Facebook when you mentioned CBD oil, a lot of them like it's a great treatment for cancer. Now, I mean, they're not doing the studies, of course, but this is a lot of this is anecdotal, or they might go down the conspiratorial road and just believe what they read. But as I mentioned, kratom, the 44 deaths in 7 years, kratom so far really hasn't killed anybody, and big pharma drugs kill many more people. Vioxx, I think I mentioned Vioxx, killed 50,000 people 10 years ago when it was on the market. It was a heart drug. 50,000, that's the same amount that died in Korea, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. 50,000. And that's just one off the top of my head. So big pharma drugs kill people all the time, aside from the aforementioned nosocomial infections and doctor errors and other stuff like that. So why not allow kratom? I mean, this is just typical utmost hypocrisy. And if you have low information voters, quote unquote, or people who are not known, they're reading the Washington Post or going through Google Health or whatever, and they read this, oh, the kratom, they should get kratom off. Yeah, the FDA is looking out for us. I mean, they've so inculcated into our head that the CDC, the FDA, the World Health Organization, all these places are actually honest watchdogs, that when you read that they're trying to do something, you actually believe it instead of seeing what's the real truth. What's the real truth? So I'm going back to my former student. You know, of course, he was pro-kratom because he sees these guys coming in. They look manifestly better. And we don't want people on antidepressants unless they have to be on antidepressants. We don't want people on big pharma anxiolytic drugs like Ativan and Xanax unless they absolutely have to be on it because of the side effects. And kratom really doesn't have a lot of side effects. So just, because I know Gottlieb's listening to this, right? Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Just give people, I know this is a weird idea, the option of choice, right? We can go to the supermarket and there's 57 freaking varieties of cereal. Okay, but when it comes to treating our body, our health, how we want to treat our chronic pain or our anxiety or depression, there's really one choice, big pharma drugs. Right. Oh, they'll give you, you know, five choices. Yeah, you could take Paxil, you could take Wellbutrin, you know, you can take Sertraline, you know, yeah, we'll give you those choices, SSRI or SNRI. But overall, they've hijacked the paradigm where you have to believe big pharma is the only way to go. So, guys, if you're not familiar with kratom, look into it. If any of you have the aforementioned or foregoing problems that kratom is used to treat, maybe look into it. Like I said, vape stores have been blowing up everywhere. Here in San Antonio, like 2 years ago, there weren't any. Now, like every block, there's a vape store. So you can get them at vape stores. And do some research. My understanding is you have to be 18 to enter a premise that has these things. But just look into it. Just look into it. You know, I'm always about alternative treatments and going away from big pharma if you have the option to go away from big pharma. Because I have to admit, I mean, look, big pharma drugs do save lives. But when it comes to minor maladies, intermediate maladies, or prevention stuff, let's go the naturopathic, let's go the original medicine road, and let's try the herbs, let's try the botanical stuff, and let me try this strange tea here. Yeah, it's not that good. All right, so last thing I want to mention, of course, I got to pimp out the podcast. Takes you 2 seconds. Please post a review. It would mean a lot to me. Go to your iTunes or go to your wherever you're listening to this. 2 seconds, post a review. A 1-star to 5-star, I don't care. Write something. If you don't want to write anything, that's fine. Just please post a review. And until next time, God bless. Enjoy your Valentine's Day. I am not going to enjoy my Valentine. I don't know. I am not with anybody right now. So perhaps it's what are they rebranding Valentine's Day? Like something like Happy Singles Day or Single Awareness Day or some nonsense. I love how we have to rebrand everything. Everything's got a euphemism. But if you do have a loved one, enjoy this day. And if you don't have a loved one, enjoy this day. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at @naturopathearth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.